In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Glory be to the Father, to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, both now and unto the ages of all ages. Amen. Our meditation this morning is entitled, The Prodigal Son Lost and Found. And sometimes I run out of props or visual aids, so I have to borrow some things from the local place that we are in. So I would like to get a volunteer, please, who is in high school. Anyone who is in high school. Any of our youth who is in high school, who would like to come up here? Okay, Isaac, come and join me, please. Okay. Good morning, Isaac. Okay, you can hold this. What do you think is inside this box?
Clothes, scarves.
Okay, so you know right away what it is. It is called the?
Lost and found.
Lost and found, okay. And we tried to look for the lost and found box this morning, and this is how big it was, and we just dragged it over here in the church. Okay, to tell you the truth, I'm a little bit afraid to open this box. Why do you think I'm afraid to open this box? Like, can you guess?
No.
Give it a wild guess. Like, usually, like high school.
Someone's ready to scare you.
Someone's gonna jump out and surprise me. Okay. To tell you the truth, I'm afraid to open it because of the stench, because of the smell. Okay. Let's see. Let's try. Okay. Here it is. Okay. Okay, so let's see, just explain to everyone what's inside of this box, please.
Bags.
Okay, so we have some bags. Okay, here is some bags. What else?
Scarf or shirt.
Okay, scarves. I guess people are not going to feel that they've lost these things until they go out in the cold and freeze. Okay, and here is something else. Okay, one shoe. Like, who would go home with one shoe? Only a high school student would do this, Isaac. Okay, they would forget one shoe and the other one, probably they're walking somewhere with the other shoe. I don't know, sleeping bag, some, okay. Just hold your breath, please. Okay, here is something which I have no clue what it is, but can you just tell everyone what that is?
Oh.
Okay. I don't know. I think, okay, just put it back. Thank you, Isaac. Here is, okay, we're going to probably just close this before we all faint. And how do you feel, these people who've lost their stuff, like, what were they thinking? Like, can you explain the phenomenon of just forgetting something and losing track of it completely?
Most people just don't care that much.
Most people just don't care that much. It doesn't really matter if they've lost something or not. It wasn't that precious.
No.
Anyways. But what happens when something is lost after a while and ends up in a lost and found box? After a while, what happens to it? Just like you experienced now?
Yeah, it just stays there forever.
Stays there forever and it starts to?
Rot.
To rot, to stink. And the items inside, unfortunately, by now they don't know that they're lost and they are getting used to life in the lost and found box. But thank God that God doesn't forget. Aren't we grateful because of that? What do you feel? How do you feel God treats the lost and found? How does God look at the lost and found? Humans, that is, not clothes. or one shoe.
Like we're everything to Him?
We are everything to Him. And explain.
He cares of us. He cares about us really much. He doesn't want us to go rotten, like some stuff in here.
Yeah.
And yeah.
I think we're really thankful to God that He wouldn't let us rot like the items inside of here. Thank you so much, Isaac. You've been very helpful. You may take this away now, please. Our meditation this morning is the prodigal son. Lost and found. We're going to begin our meditation by exploring some of the brotherly rivalries that the Holy Scripture mentioned. The two sons and the conflict between them wasn't the only one that is in the Holy Scriptures. I'm going to mention quickly four examples. And then also briefly, we are going to meet the five main characters in the parable of the prodigal son. And after each one of them, I want to say, I am that person. Let's not start to point any fingers to anyone. I'm sure everyone is sitting and looking at the person beside them and say, yeah, he's the older brother. Yeah, he's the lost son. Yeah, he's the father. He's the people. But the bottom line, in each and every one of us, there lies one of these characters. From the beginning of time, brothers quarreled. But the amazing thing about God that I found, and it just hit me as I was preparing for this meditation, is the concept that God loves both brothers equally, regardless of what they have done. Let us begin with the story of Cain and Abel in the book of Genesis chapter 4. If you have your Bibles, please follow along with me, Genesis chapter 4. We know that Adam and Eve begat these two brothers. Most probably they had other children, but these are the ones mentioned in Genesis chapter 4. Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain and said, I have acquired a man from the Lord. Then she bore again, this time, his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And then, of course, we know that the rivalry that occurred between the two of them to the point that Cain murdered Abel. And God came to Cain, and he said, what about your brother? His voice is crying out. And Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, where is Abel, your brother? He said, I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, what have you done? The voice of your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. So now you are cursed. So Cain received a curse from God, and Abel was the righteous one. But the amazing thing about this story, which I found just fascinating, is that God didn't give up on Cain. He still pursued him. And he said that anyone who murders Cain will be cursed. So now you are cursed, but when you till the ground, you will have this, no longer have the strength. Surely you have driven me out this day. This is Cain speaking to God. And the Lord said to him, therefore, whoever kills Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. So anyone who murders Cain, even though he is the aggressor, God still extends his loving hand towards him. And God has no differentiation between the bad person in our eyes, the killer. He still loves him. He still wants him back. He still wants the salvation of his soul. The second brotherly rivalry that occurred was between Esau and Jacob. And this is mentioned in Genesis chapter 25. And again, we know that there was rivalry because of the birthrights and all the blessings and the descendants from which the Christ is going to come. And we know that Esau sold his birthright to Jacob over the plate or the bowl of stew of lentils. But then from their descendants came also blessing, and God gave blessing to both Esau and to Jacob. Let us look at Genesis 25, verse 23. And the Lord said to her, two nations are in your womb. Two people shall be separated from your body. One people shall be stronger than the other, and the older shall serve the younger. There will be two nations, and both of them will be blessed. Even though there was contention and rivalry between the brothers, God still maintained to give blessing to each one of these two nations. The third brotherly rivalry in the Old Testament was between Isaac and Ishmael. And again, we see God's love, and this is in Genesis 21. Even though Abraham went against God's will, God promised him that he will have a son of promise and his descendants will come from him. Abraham went ahead and had a child with Hagar, who was a Gentile, not from the children that God was going to give the lineage of the Christ from. But even though he was kicked out, God loved Ishmael. And he promised that he would also be a great nation. Genesis 21, 12 to 18. We can read these verses. But God said to Abraham, do not let it be displeasing in your sight because of the lad or because of your bondwoman. Whatever Sarah has said to you, listen to her voice. And Abraham rose early in the morning and took bread and a skin of water, and putting it on her shoulder, this is Hagar, he gave it and the boy to Hagar and sent her away. And when Hagar was in the wilderness, she saw that she was dying, and God heard the voice of the lad, and the angel of God came to Hagar out of heaven and said to her, what ails you, Hagar? Fear not, for God has heard the voice of the lad where he is. Arise, lift up the lad and hold him with your hand, for I will make him a great nation. Even the son who is not out of the promise, God is going to make a great nation. Yes, he will. God has equal love for both the lost son and the older son, the prodigal son, the younger son who has left, and also for the older one who has always been in God's presence. The fourth and last story I want to mention is from the New Testament, which is something between two brothers also. All of these are going to point us to the direction to understand how does God's mind work towards everyone in the whole world, how his love is to each and every individual, regardless of their ethnicity or socioeconomic status or background, where they have been as young people, as sinners, if they have distracted or been away from God's presence, God wants all to come back, and then they will have this amazing fellowship between the brothers. In the New Testament, our Lord Jesus gave another parable in Matthew 21, verses 28 to 32. He said that there was a father who had a vineyard, and he asked his two children to perform certain tasks. One of them went to his father and he said, sure, Dad, I will do whatever you ask of me. Then he ended up ignoring him. And then the other person said, well, I'm kind of busy now, so can I postpone this for later? And later on he went and he agreed and he has performed his task. Which one is the better one in God's eyes? Of course, it's the person who said no at first, but then went ahead and fulfilled his father's command and task. But the other son also remained to be his child, and he did not abandon him. God gave us all these examples again to help us to understand the concept of Christian fellowship. In every generation, even in the first century of the church, there was a huge schism, a huge separation between the people, between the Jews and the Gentiles. And God always said to the Jews that, yes, I was known to the Jews in the Old Testament, but that doesn't mean I'm a private property only to the Jews. I love the Gentiles just as much. And these brothers who are seen as sinners in your eyes that you have been pushing away, I have also died for them. I have given my life for them so that we may become all in one unity and in one fellowship. Again, the Lord gives us the parable today of the lost son. And to tell you the truth, I'm not sure which one was the lost more in God's eyes. Is it the younger son or the older son? They were both just as faulty as one another. Let us very quickly look at the five main characters in the parable of the prodigal or the wasteful or the lost son. In this parable, we meet the younger son, the older son, we meet the father, we meet the citizens of the country, and we meet the servants who have done God's will. The younger son comes to his father, and in not so many words, he says to him, I can't wait till you die so that I can have my inheritance. This was the most offensive thing that a son could actually say to his father, that I want my inheritance now. I can't wait until you actually die. But the father, who is very calm, goes ahead and he gives him his inheritance, knowing very well that he has not yet reached the maturity to take care of this hard-earned money. The father was a prestigious man in the community, yet he yielded and accepted his son's will. And God wants us to walk with him not out of fear or out of necessity, but out of love. He wants his followers to follow him because they felt His love and have experienced it. And if any one of us comes at any time to say, God, thanks, but no thanks, He will say, my heart is aching for you, my daughter or my son, and I want you to be beside me to enjoy fellowship in my house. But it is really up to you. I have created you with your own personal free will. The younger son goes away, and he is extremely humiliated. For a Jew to live amongst the Gentiles and to tend the swine and to eat or wish to eat from their food was the most humiliating act for any Jewish person. Again, the swine were not grown by Jews because it was an unclean animal. So we know that he went to a far country, to the Gentile land, to individuals who live amongst the swine. And here the swine represent the lowest humiliation for any human being. The beauty of this young man is that once he realized, once he hit rock bottom, he went back to himself and he said, how much I wish that I would go back to my father's house to repent and to return and to tell him, Father, forgive me. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son, but make me as one of your hired servants. He quickly realized that the only dignity he will have is in his father's house. I am the prodigal son. I am the one who has turned my back on my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and I'm praying today to return to Him. I'm praying that I would taste how beautiful, how precious, how great, how marvelous He is, and not turn my back on Him anymore. Then we met with the older son. The older son represented the Jewish nation, represented those who have always been with God. But the problem is that they felt that they have ownership of God. They have should have more privileges than the Gentiles who are coming in. That they would not easily accept those who have been living like dogs or defiled in the world. God is our God, and we are justified just by being part of the family of Abraham. And quite honestly, his argument was very logical. And he goes up to his father, and he says, I've been living with you my entire life. You've never even given me a little goat so that I may be merry with the rest of my friends. This is human logic. But I think what the older brother experienced on that day is that the father's logic is different than human logic. He cares just as much for him as he does for his younger brother. He never kicked him out on the street. And he said, all that I have is always yours. But you should have been merry and rejoice because this brother of yours was lost and now is found. He was dead, but now is alive. I love so much the argument of the father, how compassionate and kind and logical he was. I would say if I were in the father's place, I would have just screamed at the older brother and says, don't you understand? You get out of my house. I love the prodigal son. He is finally home. But the Bible tells us that he went out to meet the older brother. Like going, for the father usually stays with dignity inside the home. But he went out to meet the younger brother coming back. He waited for him. And again, the scripture tells us that when the older brother was upset, he went out to him to please him and to speak with him very kindly and very softly. I am the older brother who pushes people away, who feels a sense of ownership in the church and doesn't accept the return of the sinner, like that he would return and that he would live. I am the one who always complains and points out the deficiencies and the problems but never finds solutions. We are left with this parable without any ending, in suspicion, to think about what will the older brother do. Will he join the party or will he choose to stand outside of the house? And that many times I am the older brother. Here also we have met the citizens of the country, and these were represented in the people who are far away from God, who have enticed the younger brother, who have led him to waste his life and his money, as the older brother said, that he amongst adulterers and adulteries. And I am that person who distracts people from the way of God. In the way that I hold parties and I invite friends and we do wild things in the name of fun and social time and enjoyment, and forget that I might be tempting other people around me who are weaker. I am that citizen of the far country who have taken the prodigal son and made him waste all his money on prodigal living and on prostitution. God help me and forgive me to return back to you today and to offer to you my sincere repentance that I will come back to your flock. Also, we met here the servants who did the exact will of the father. The father, as soon as he saw the prodigal son, he asked his servants and he said, run and help this son of mine. He called one of the servants and he said to him, the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet and bring the fatted calf and kill it and let us eat and be merry. And immediately the servant did the will of the father. I am praying that I would be that servant. That servant is us, the church, the community. When they see someone return back to God with all their heart, they will encompass him and put on them the robe and the ring and kill the fatted calf and be merry and rejoice and dance. This is you and I. Each and every one of us has a responsibility towards the lost soul who has finally come back to the Father, crying and weeping and pouring their heart to him. I pray that we'd all be like this. And finally, we met here in this parable the heart of a compassionate and a loving father. The father who is willing to humiliate himself by his children in order to show how much he loves them and he cares for them. He is willing to go out into the street to meet them. He is willing to let go of his inheritance. He is willing to speak with the older brother to explain to him how he really feels about the younger son, while he never let go of his love to the older son. He loves them just as much. I'm in awe of this parable, and I love everything about it. And it keeps us in suspense, and it keeps us growing. Every time we read this timeless classic, it will continue to speak to us as a community, as a church. My beloved, I want to conclude by this reality check. And I mean, it's one thing to look at the scripture and the stories of the past and say, oh, how bad was the older brother, or how bad was the younger, or how bad or how good. But unless we internalize these stories and make it relevant to us here and today, we haven't grown. Let me be very honest with you. Ever since the beginning of the church in the first century, there was always contention between Jew and Gentile, man and woman, rich and poor. And up until this day, in every single community around the world, there is always this contention. But we have to pray that in Christ Jesus, there is no more segregation and there is no more separation. Christ Jesus has given us the reconciliation and made the two into one. I know in some of our minds, we stand for the older brother. We are the ones who have founded the church or the Coptic church. We demand this language. We demand this culture. This is ours and it will never be changed. And then on the other end, we have the other extreme. We say, you know, God is the liberal side. God is the God of everyone. God is the, you know, we have to understand. We have to speak all in English. And look at these traditionalists. They are from back there and they don't know what they are doing. And everyone is looking at the person beside them to condemn and say, see, these words are for you. They are not for me. My prayer is that today we reconcile the two into one. We reconcile all cultures together in the name of Christ, so that in the name of Jesus there would be no more separation. As St. Paul said in Galatians 3:28, no more Jew or Gentile, no more man or woman, no more rich or poor, no more slave or free, but all are one in Jesus. This is our prayer, that the Jew and the Gentile, the Egyptian and the Canadian would reconcile into one. Those who have speak fluent English and those who can hardly say a couple of words. Jesus has died for both and he loves both. We have to continue to accept and to understand and to live with one another. The message, if anything, that I take today from the parable of the prodigal son, that God has a heart for the lost son, but he didn't lose his love for the older brother who has always been with him. This is the ideal and perfect church that we are praying for. God was very compassionate. He had so much patience with both until he reconciled them into one. And even though we don't know the conclusion of this parable, it is left up to us to write the ending of this story. And I pray that the ending in our church here, right here in our community, would be a great one to say that those who speak mainly English will reach out to those who don't speak that much English. The traditionalists will, quote unquote, will reach out to the liberals or those who are pushing forward for change, and both will reconcile into one. Because after all, the rivalry is not amongst the brothers, because God loves both. If both children look at the heart of the Father, our church will be an amazing church. It will be a different church, and the spirit that it will reflect will be a complete different one. This is our prayer today, that both brothers would look to the heart of Jesus and know that He died for both and that He loves both. I pray this today through the intercession of the Holy Theotokos, St. Mary and St. Maurice and St. Verena, who are our intercessors and who will always help us to be focused on the Lord Jesus Christ, never to put any boundary of segregation or separate us in between us as one members in the body of Christ, regardless of where we came from or how we reached this place or how we will continue in the future. He will always embed His love in our hearts today and always, and glory be to God forever and ever. Amen.